the difference between grace and the law from the book of John, where the scripture says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And then I went through some things about the law and about the terrible, unbelievable, horrible shaking that occurred, the terrible noise of the trumpets, the fire burning on Mount Sinai, God's voice thundering down on the people whenever the law was given, and I contrasted it. The Bible indicates that once again, the earth is going to be shaken and the heavens. Well, preachers have been saying for 2,000 years it was going to happen. And like anything else, after 2,000 years of saying that, it's a whole lot like the story about the little boy that kept making up this story about a wolf attacking a sheep. And he'd be out there with the sheep and he'd say, "Wolf, wolf, wolf, wolf," and all the villagers would hear him and they'd come running in to try and help him. And he'd just sit and laugh at him because there was no wolf. Well, pretty soon after he'd done that several times, the villagers just quit listening. They just wouldn't do anything. Well, one day, finally the wolf showed up and the poor boy had no defense against the wolf and he ate most of the sheep or a large portion of them. Well, I don't care whether something is true or false. In the case of Jesus, it's true. But we've been saying for 2,000 years he was coming, and most of the general population on this planet, when you tell them Jesus is coming, they'll say, "Oh, my granddad. I heard that when I was a little boy. Granddaddy used to talk about that. And, oh, Lord, you believe that, you know, after all this time?" Well, it's finally about to happen. There are a lot of things going on in the Middle East that I keep up with constantly, and a lot of things that I do that I put out on the Internet. And this is, oddly enough, the one that's going up today. And so I thought that I'd just show you what I put on the Internet this morning. And this goes out to a very large number of people all over the world. And they pick it up in just about every continent on the earth. And this is what I put out. Special Prophecy Update number 122A. And June the 2nd, 2003. When? The major problem. There are certain factors in Middle East prophecy of which you can be sure, but exactly when they will occur in time has always been the unpredictable side of the prophetic equation. The sequence of events that has never presented a major problem. First, this has never been a problem. It's never been difficult to forecast the sequence of events, but it's always been extremely difficult to tell when they will occur. The first thing that's supposed to happen is a false peace. Well, I've been saying for 2 years that it was coming. It's now coming. Now, there are going to be a lot of problems with it, but it's coming. First, a false peace had to occur, according to the Bible. Then, after a short period of time, according to the Bible, an attack from the north had to come against Israel. And that began the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And after the attack, some 3.5 years later, was the final battle of Armageddon. The pressure that is being put on Israel by the United States is causing it to cooperate in the roadmap peace process, and the accusations of the United States against Syria and Iran are pressuring them to put pressure on the terrorist groups they sponsor in Israel to cool it for a while. They're primarily doing this because they have seen what the United States and its allies did to Iraq. There's no question that the United States did get the attention of Iran and Syria, and that's very, very important. Because all the terrorist groups in Israel, Hamas, the Islamic Jihad, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the Fatah and all its splinter groups, every one of them receives their funding and sponsorship from Syria and Iran. That's not a theory, it's a fact. Now, because they get their money from them and because they sponsor them, really Syria and Iran are the only two that could get the terrorists to stop their activity. I have always said, consistently and repeatedly for the last 29 years, that Yasser Arafat cannot control the terrorist groups, nor can the new man who's been put in charge as sort of the assistant prime minister. The only one who can call off the terrorists are Iran and Iraq. So I've just waited and waited and waited and waited all these years for the time when they would be called off. I think they're about to be called off. And I believe that Iran and Iraq have already sent out and are trying to get them to stop their activities so they can lull Israel into a false sense of security. Now, the timing as to when particular things happen in prophecy has always been the problem. When the Bible says something, I believe it, absolutely, positively, unequivocally, without question. But when it will happen is always the thing that causes the person talking about it the most problem. Since I'm convinced we're finally headed toward a false peace down a long, curvy road with lots of dents and potholes. There are certain factors I have expressed previously in numerous prophecy updates, which I will now reiterate for consideration during this protracted, bumpy excursion. We're headed down a road toward a false peace. It's going to be bumpy. It's going to be curvy. It's going to be windy. At times, you'd think, they're going to call the whole thing off. Israel's withdrawing from it. The Palestinians are pulling out of it. It can't go through. It never happened. And it's going to happen. Within the next 17 months, I believe that a peace will be actually finalized. I think you're seeing the starting signs of it now, but it's a three-phase thing, and it's going to take quite a while. Factor one, I am certain that an attack will eventually occur against Israel, and of the opinion the attack will occur before 2008. Now, when I say opinion, I mean a very considered opinion. I really believe it's going to happen before 2008, but that's the timing factor, and that's the best I can do. I have said since I came to this church 29 years ago, I have said this over and over again. Ever since 1967, I have made this statement. I believe Israel will be attacked before the year 2008, and I've given numerous reasons for that. I'm more convinced of it now than I've ever been in all these years since 1968. You're going to have a false peace come in. You definitely will have a false peace come in. Now, once that false peace comes in, then you're going to have a situation where, after a brief period of time, the attack will be launched against Israel. Now, the three-phase plan that they have ends up with the Palestinians having their own personal, autonomous, independent state inside the borders of Israel around what we call the West Bank and what they call the Gaza Strip. Now, when that happens, it's going to cause the Israelis to finally believe they actually have peace and security. And that's when the ticking clock starts, because not too long after that, they're going to be viciously attacked from the north. So factor number one, I'm certain that an attack will eventually occur against Israel, and of the opinion the attack will likely occur before 2008. I'm telling you this because I believe it. I'm telling you this because I'm convinced of it. And I'm telling you this because I think when it happens, the more you're aware of this happening before it occurs, the better equipped you'll be to go through it. Zechariah 13:8. Now, this is the attack. There's no question it's coming. The only question has always been when. Never before in history have the exact set of circumstances that exist today been in place as implicably as they are today. Zechariah 13:8. It shall come to pass that in all the land of Israel, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. This means that about 1.8 million Israelis will survive this attack, and they will flee into the Negev wilderness. Of that, I am absolutely positive. Am I positive it will occur before 2008? Absolutely not. I am not absolutely positive. Am I convinced it will? Yes, I am. Could I be wrong? Yes. But I really believe it's going to happen. I don't know that for sure, but I certainly know it is going to happen, and I believe it will happen before 2008. Factor number two, I'm certain that one-third of Israel's population, about 1.8 million Jews, will flee into the wilderness. It has to be the Negev wilderness, because Israel has spent billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars in preparing it. It is the most heavily fortified military zone on the surface of God's earth. That is not opinion. I watched them prepare it. I know what I'm talking about. And this is their war contingency evacuation area that they put in their war contingency plan when they first drew up in 1948. Now, the Bible indicates they're going to flee to the wilderness. I contend it has to be the Negev. The Negev is over one-third the size of all of Israel, and it's south of Beersheba in that arid region that runs down toward the Dead Sea, and the Red Sea, and the Gulf of Aqaba. They will remain there for 1,260 days after the attack, being driven there, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, which is the last 3.5 prophetic years of the tribulation period. Now, since I do not believe the rapture is going to occur at the first of the week, why am I putting this up here? Why am I telling you about it? I think you're going to be here. And what really is fear? What causes fear? The unknown. You can ask anyone, what produces the most fear? The unknown. When you were a child and the lights were turned out in your room and it was dark, why were you afraid? Because you couldn't see what was there. Once your eyes got accustomed to the darkness and you could look around and you could see there weren't any monsters lurking, well, your fear subsided. Once you know something and you believe something is going to occur, When it occurs, it doesn't frighten you because you know it's in the Bible. You know it was supposed to occur. And instead of frightening you, it gives you encouragement to continue. I'm certain that one-third of Israel's population will flee into the Negev wilderness. I'm certain they'll be there for 1,260 days. I'm certain that'll be the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. But those are things I'm absolutely certain of. Am I certain it will occur before 2008? I'm not positive. I'm not absolutely certain. But I'm sure believe it will. I'm strongly convinced of it. Revelation 12:6. And the woman fled. The woman is Israel. Fled into the wilderness. It has to be Israel because of the symbols that are used. And the woman fled into the wilderness, the Negev wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God. God put it in the minds of the Israeli politicians in 1948. And God put water underneath there, billions of cubic meters of water, where they have sufficient food, clothing, and shelter to last for well over 3.5 years. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she, Israel, has a place prepared of God, so that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And the they represent the nations of the earth, the Western world, which will airlift supplies into them during this particular period of time. Factor 3. I'm certain Jerusalem will fall to the armies of 10 Islamic nations led by Antichrist and will remain in their hands for 1,260 days or 42 months. Jerusalem will fall, and the city of Jerusalem will be in Islamic hands, if you will, Gentile hands, non-Jew. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. I'm certain Jerusalem will fall to the armies of 10 Islamic nations led by Antichrist, and I'm confident Jerusalem will remain in their hands, the armies of the Antichrist, for 1,260 days or 42 months. They're the same. Zechariah 14:2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city, meaning one day they will be allowed to return. And half of Jerusalem will go into captivity. Probably the other half will be slaughtered. Maybe a few of them will make it down out of the Negev. Revelation 11:2. I'm certain Jerusalem will fall to the armies of 10 Islamic nations led by Antichrist and remain in their hands for 1,262 days or 42 months. And here that is in Revelation 11:2. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot for 42 months. While Israel is in the Negev wilderness for 42 months, 3.5 years, or 1,260 days, or sometimes the Bible will call it times, times, and half a times, the Islamic nations will regain the city of Jerusalem, and they will control it for 3.5 years while Israel is in the Negev wilderness. Factor 4. I am certain the one-third will go through the fire of the tribulation period in the Negev. I'm positive of it. But I'm also positive that at the end of that 3.5 years, they will retake the city of Jerusalem at the end of the 1,260 days, and that Christ will dwell among them thereafter. Remember Zechariah 13:9? Zechariah 13:8. Now look at Zechariah 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire. That's the fire of the tribulation period, 3.5 years, 42 months, times time, half a time, 1,260 days. And I will bring the third part, 1.8 million Jews, through the fire, the tribulation period of 3.5 years, and will refine them as silver is refined, will try them as gold is tried. It's like when you heat silver or gold, a dross comes up on the top of it. You skim it off very gently and keep on doing that until the dross doesn't appear anymore and you've purified it. They're going to go through a wringing process, a terrifying physiological and psychological terror in the Negev wilderness for 3.5 years. And will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. This is the end of the tribulation period. This is when they come back out and retake the city of Jerusalem after 42 months of Gentile control. And I will hear them and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now these scriptures have been in the Bible for a very, 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 very long time. And I say this reverently, meaning no disrespect to God. God doesn't flap his gums for nothing. God didn't have this written just so it could be on a piece of paper. This has to be fulfilled. It's about to be fulfilled. It had to be sooner or later. Well, it's been 2,000 years, and it's about to be fulfilled. And we are the generation in which it will be fulfilled. We may not want to be the generation. We may wish we had lived before this. We may want to live to be 100. We may want to grow up and have all of our children successful and eminent in life. We may want to get to be old and decrepit and then have the Lord come, but we're not going to get our wants. This is about to be fulfilled. The attack, I believe, will occur before 2008. You say, Brother McMurray, what are you going to do if you're wrong? I'm just going to be wrong. And I'll look like a fool. But I'm certain of it. So I'm not concerned about that part of it at all. Factor 5. I'm certain that factors 1 through 4 cannot occur until the leaders of Israel actually believe they can control the peace to the extent that they actually say they have peace and safety. Now, that one little word, say, is one of the most important words in this discourse we're going to look at. It's not when a signature goes on a piece of paper. It's when Israel actually says, when their leaders say it. And they won't say it, I guarantee you, until they believe it. I'm certain that factors 1 through 4 cannot occur. The attack will not occur until the leaders of Israel actually say they can control the peace to the extent that they actually say we have peace and safety. In order for the enemy's forces to actually overcome Israel, they must catch Israel by surprise. There is no way under heaven they could actually overrun Israel if Israel was on alert and ready. No way. They have to catch her by surprise, and they will catch her by surprise. Israel has been in denial, in unbelief, concerning Jesus Christ as their Messiah for almost 2,000 years. So their confidence in any peace must be based on their own power and expertise to maintain it without God's help. Listen, that's a godless nation. When I first started going over there in the 50s, it wasn't a godless nation. They were still trying to follow the precepts of the teaching of Moses. And even though they were in error and a veil was over their hearts, they still believed there was one God, that Israel has a God. Most of the younger generation that comes up over there doesn't even believe there's a God. And it's a godless generation. They trust in themselves. Every time Israel got in a position where it trusted itself and not in God, it got in trouble. The travail of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period will begin when they actually say it. They say it. They finally have a peace with security. Romans 11:32. For God hath concluded them all of them, in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. That was Paul that wrote this. Paul had a great burden for the Jews. And he wished that the veil would be lifted so they could all be saved. But they are in unbelief. And that's basically who he's referring to in the other epistle he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3 and 4, he says, For when they, Israel, shall say peace and safety, when they say it, when they believe it, and here comes the trial, then, wham, sudden destruction. That's the fire in the wilderness, the testing they come under, the tribulation period. Then sudden destruction, the attack from the north, cometh upon them, as to veil upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. 2/3 of them will perish. 1/3 will make it into the Negev. Now, we're sitting here in a nice, comfortable church building with air conditioning in Dardanelle, Arkansas. And we're members of a church just like the church at Thessalonica. And we are brethren. He says, but ye, Emmaus, plural, brethren, members of the church at Thessalonica, and I think this message is also for us. But ye, brethren, members of the church at Dardanelle, are not in darkness, if that day should overtake you as a thief. You should not be surprised when this happens. I cannot tell you the day, the week, the month, or the year that Jesus is coming. I cannot tell you precisely when this attack is going to occur. But the Bible indicated we would not be completely in darkness. We are the children of light. And I believe this attack will occur before 2008. And I believe that the peace process that's now going on across the surface of the earth is going to be the final peace treaty. Now, there are a lot of people on this planet that are waiting for the Lord to come, and they think they're going to be whisked away and taken into heaven at the first of the week and never have to face any trial or tribulation. That belief was never taught, never preached. You won't find it in any book about the Bible ever published before 1827. It was introduced first by the urbanites. John Darby picked it up, brought it to this country. Before 1827, you will not find one single solitary book published about the Bible in print or ever printed that advocated the Lord was going to catch out all the saved before all this trouble started. It's just not true. I'm sorry, it's just not true. The first time that any position other than the seventh trumpet or the last of the week was presented was in 1770, when a man presented a position in a paper that he turned into a Baptist school in Lexington, Kentucky, I believe, advocating that the Lord might come at the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It's called mid-trib. When John Darby came out and presented his lecture about the rapture occurring at the beginning of the tribulation period, everybody started making up these little diagrams of 2 3.5 year periods. I'm here to tell you that Jesus fulfilled the first 3.5 years of Daniel's last week. And I'm telling you, when this peace does come, you're not going to have 3.5 years to sit on your duff and wait for the attack to occur. It's probably going to occur within 2 months after the peace, after they actually say they have peace with safety. So if there's anything you intend to do with the Lord, for the Lord, or about the Lord, you jolly well better get after it. Now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you are saved and you've never submitted to baptism, I'm telling you the countdown is beginning now. And I'm not frightening you into doing it. I'm telling you and warning you that this is the final age and the final time, and you better get things right with God. And if you are saved, and if you have been properly baptized, you need to be in one of God's churches serving in it. This church is not after your money. It's after your heart. This church is the body of Christ. And it's here to preach and teach the Word of God so that you, as individuals, can have a relationship with the Lord that the Lord wants you to have. If you're not saved, you can get saved by coming to Jesus Christ and trusting Him as your Savior. He saves you. The church doesn't. Your baptism doesn't. Your lifestyle doesn't. What saves you is Jesus. He's a person. And when you come to Him and trust Him, He saves you. So all I can do is tell you what you need to do. If you're not saved, you need to come this morning trusting Jesus. If you are saved and you're not baptized, you need to come submit yourself as a candidate for baptism if you are saved. And if you are here this morning and God's dealing with you as someone who's saved and you want to serve in this church, you need to come. You say, well, I don't feel that way. Fine. All I can do is tell you, you had better prepare for some really hard, tough times. Brother Kenneth Eubanks, would you dismiss us?